bullpen position. We can
back on track.
We are back to our roots. I don't know why. Did we ever only, even in the early days, we only ever did these on weekends. But even that doesn't even that doesn't feel true. Like,
no, it definitely went away after like the first 2 months that we started doing it.
Yeah,
because we just started randomly doing it on like a Thursday. Like it was just
It's like we do it after the game.
genuinely. Yeah.
So, yeah, that if you're wondering why it's called that, that's why, I guess. But yeah. And it was also like 7 years ago. So there you go.
We're dumb kids. It's mostly that.
I'm not changing it. So no, deal with it.
We're locked in now. We've got a logo and everything. Like, you know what I
mean? Yeah. Okay, we watched first round ended today. We have our 4 second round matchups are locked. One of them started last night with Nuggets Wolves. We're going to talk about that in a second. But we're going to start today with just talking about the game seven that happened, the Cavs and the Magic. Not a series that we watched a ton of, given all the other shit going on. But... I mean, the Magic had the game in the bag. They were up 18. Seemed like it was over. Cavs just started hitting threes. Paulo kind of went cold with Okoro guarding him, but he was still getting free throws. Their offense, I mean, their offense, the story of the series is their offense just being a disaster. Like, it's all Paulo all the time. He's the only one that can get anything going. They have no shooting, even when they had Ingles out there for the shooting and when they had Harris out there for the shooting and like guys like Cole Anthony, like Fultz is not able to create offense like that. And then the other guy you turn to would be Franz Wagner, right? But he ended up going 1 for 15 today,
all time. I think it's the lowest field goals percentage.
Yeah. The lowest field goal percentage, I think minimum 10 shots. Cause I know people have gone
some minimum on it.
Yeah. People have gone like over 9 and stuff. Like role players and stuff. But you know, he's one of the like hubs of their offense, you know? So
second option.
For him doing that, to do that, it's pretty bad. And Jared Allen didn't play today. He still has that rib injury. Apparently he like can't lift his arm without it being very painful, so I would assume that he's gonna miss at least one or two more games.
If not more.
Yeah. They're playing the Celtics. I guess we can just talk about it now. They're playing the Celtics. It should be 4 or 5 games at the most for the Celtics over the Cavs. Not having Porzingis would be something that maybe you would worry about, but the Allen thing has just kind of negated that completely. And you know, Horford is still somewhat serviceable, unless you think Mobley could just destroy them, which I don't.
No. I'm like, Mobley's not going to do anything to Horford that is going to, like, move the needle for me on this series. I'll say that. And, like, and to be fair, like, Horford has been fine this year. I don't think he's had the impact that he had, like, in their run to the finals. But, you know, at the same time, like, you never know with him. He's come out of nowhere quite a few of these years, so.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, like, they have the guards to throw it Garland and Mitchell, like, White and Holiday Smart guarding those guys is, like, pretty much the perfect situation that you would want. So, yeah. I mean, it's probably going to be a bloodbath.
Those games can be ugly, man.
Like, yeah, so if you're considering like taking a break or like not, you know, going to do something rather than watching
living
games,
your life,
that's when you want to go, when those two teams are playing over the course of the next probably only 7 days, because it might be a sweep. But
I mean, Boston might just throw away one game because they do that, but
that's going to be Tuesday night starting, so make your plans.
Tuesday night plans are gonna be hard.
Yeah. Now this other series that started yesterday is Nuggets Wolves. Last time we talked was, I mean, we didn't talk about the series per se, but last time we talked was when the Nuggets had just beaten the Lakers, I think the night before, in five. So
Believe so.
game one was awesome. The Nuggets start the game down 18-4, and it was just matchup hunting them. And I mean, there was Gobert blocks, there was all the like Minnesota rotating on defense the way that they do, like all the special stuff like that. And then Ant was guarding Jamal Murray in this game, which I thought was pretty interesting because
I didn't expect that.
one of the things that I was thinking about when like trying to predict the series was like they're probably going to put McDaniels on him, and you know, do what they usually do with Jokic, which is having Rudy on Aaron Gordon and kind of having him protect the paint that way by like the cuts that Gordon does and the cuts that Porter Jr. does, kind of having him deter all that, and putting Cat on Jokic. And we've seen Cat have foul trouble before, and we saw that again in game one. It didn't come back to bite them this time, but and then on the other side of things, you were thinking matchup wise, is KCP able to guard Edwards? The answer is no. We saw that after game one. He's just too big for him. So maybe we see Peyton Watson come in. Maybe we see it's maybe Aaron Gordon's the answer. I don't think he's quick
I think
enough,
Aaron
but
Gordon, I was going to say Aaron Gordon might be the answer here.
yeah.
But then it becomes tricky. Now you got problems elsewhere. So.
I think something to look forward to before we get into what happened in game one really is like, are the Wolves, you think like there's really no one to pick at defensively?
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to attack someone, the answer would be Conley. We didn't see Phoenix really do that because like we talked about, they really had no offensive plan other than just standing around watching. Oh, you just agree. Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm there with you, man. Yeah, I said my piece on that like last time. Oh my God, I've been trying to forget about the offense that we ran, to be honest with you.
God.
Ugly, yo.
Okay.
Hell.
Well, so you'd think maybe the attack Conley didn't go to it in game one. But anyway, game one, Wolves, they're up 18-4. They punch the Nuggets in the mouth. Nuggets punch right back. They have an 11-0 run when Murray goes to the bench and like Reggie Jackson's hitting threes and throwing lobs. And it was like, where's this guy been? Like last
Yeah,
2 years,
for
really. Like we haven't seen him
real.
have a big impact. And they were up two at the end of the first quarter. Kind of more in the same in the second half. The teams were kind of trading blows. Edwards continued to score. He had 25 in the first half out of their 40, and the Nuggets were still up four. And you're
Yeah.
kind of like, how is this like, this doesn't feel sustainable if you're the Wolves, like the way he was scoring. But then what started out as a defensive game really turned into an offensive game, and Minnesota scored, I think, 75 points in the second half.
Yes.
And just, it was Edwards kind of just hunting them, hunting them, hunting them. It was really awesome to see. He was doing it all, the fadeaways that he does, the pull-ups, obviously the drives and the layups and things like that. But Gobert was able to defend in space, like we saw in the Phoenix series, and they just kind of rolled him. And like watching this game, there was a point where I saw the ball pressure that they had make Porter actually, like Porter th basically just threw it out of bounds. And I was like, wow, okay. Like if I think they're going to come back, this is concerning to me because we just don't really see that out of this team. Like they don't get flustered like that. But Minnesota had them. They had them. I think I said they looked discombobulated. We were texting about it.
That's what you texted me
Yeah, because they were, I mean, they were that they were pressing sometimes, just sort of mixing up, and Denver was throwing bad turnovers, which you don't really see. So it got to a point where, you know, the Wolves are up like 10 or so, and I was like, I don't think they have it in them this time. And
yesterday. Yeah.
I wouldn't say Jokic was being passive, but I think early in the game he was trying a little too hard to get everybody else involved.
Well, we've seen him do that in a lot of series, man.
Yeah, where
You kind of
most,
saw it
you
in some
know,
Lakers games too, to be honest with you.
yeah, I think so. And I think he tends to sort of do his post ups and kind of take over later in the game, but it was kind of too late. And like all of a sudden you looked around and they were down six with a minute to go, and it was like, this probably isn't happening. So and that was despite, you know, Cat got his fifth foul with 8 minutes to go, and they were fine. And the Nuggets decided to put Christian Brown on Edwards, and it did not work. Although he kind of did a better job than KCP, I will
I
say.
got a little more size in case of you, don't
Yeah, he's a little longer. Maybe not quite as quick laterally, but he was. I mean, Ant was just destroying them. I think he shot 17 for 29, so nearly 50%, or nearly 60%, and then kind of to close the game.
don't
What'd you say?
think it mattered, or I guess who was on him. It just didn't really
Yeah, no,
matter.
it didn't. It
Just
didn't. He
everybody.
was lighting them up. Naz Reid kind of had a heater of his own, which I love to see. He had like 14 points in I think like 3 or 4 minutes. That was like the last run the Wolves needed to kind of shut the door. And they took him out and they put Cat back in. It was kind of like, is this gonna come back to bite them? And it didn't. And Edwards was able to make enough plays to close it out. And now, you know, we haven't seen the Nuggets be in this position in 2 years now. They have not been down. They have not trailed in a playoff series since they lost to the Warriors in round one in 2022. Like, it's they're in an unprecedented situation in terms of having their full team, this version of the team that we have so much respect for because of what they did last year. And I mean, nothing about this game felt like unsustainable from the Wolves side of it. Like, nothing felt like it wasn't like they just hit 15 threes and shot 50% on them or anything like that. Like, it was kind of a normal game in terms of the shooting percentages outside of maybe Edwards kind of lighting them up, which we kind of expected.
But I mean,
And
I don't know if that goes away. Like, he might have this kind of series, man.
yeah, like they really don't have a good answer for him at all. And that was something that we knew.
Yeah. That's
And
the crazy thing, yeah.
I mean, what do you think from watching the game? Like, what do you think? We can kind of throw the guarding him stuff out of the window, but like, what do you think Denver has to do offensively, I guess?
I mean, I think the big number that kind of jumps out is Jokic's shooting, right? Which is probably a little worse than maybe we expected it to be. But this is a tough kind of series for him. Like, Minnesota has a lot of length to throw at him. Naz Reid seemed to be holding his own against him too. And then obviously you have Gobert and Cat, whatever, however they want to, decide to play that. And so yeah, I mean, it kind of becomes a what can Jokic do? And then I think this has to be a big Jamal Murray series, just because, like you were talking about, like the offense. I think the weak point for Minnesota is really Conley, maybe Nikola Alexander Walker to a degree, but really I think Conley is that point that you want to attack, and then maybe you want to try and attack Cat and at least put Cat into some actions and see if you can get a little bit more separation for Jamal through that. I think you're going to start to see Denver like utilize a lot more of the stuff that they kind of went to, like even against the Lakers, with just kind of spamming Jokic, Jamal, just pick and rolls and kind of letting that be your second half or fourth quarter offense. That's the kind of stuff that we've seen mess with teams before, but I think against Minnesota, you're probably going to have to throw in a little added wrinkle. You can't just kind of run that two-man action because like they have so much length that, and they're so, like Minnesota, and you kind of saw it against us, obviously, which bothered Booker a lot, bothered, KD, and really just took Beal out of the game. But they like stunt and recover so well. Like the weak side guy will come over and like attempt to make a play at the ball, but then they also recover back to their own man, so you can't really beat them. Like, you're not really opening up shots for anybody else when you're able to get those drives against your initial man. And so it just becomes really tough to like create good looks, like good clean looks from three, which I think we've seen Denver do against like everybody else. Like, even Miami couldn't really stop Denver from just getting like good looks from three. But Minnesota, yeah, I think like they're gonna struggle to get consistent good looks. And then at that point, it just becomes, can you keep Ant a little quieter than he was in game one? I think like Denver is still right there. They're still gonna feel pretty confident, I think. And I think in their heads, they're gonna feel that Ant's not gonna go 43 every game. But I just don't know what their answer is gonna be, because he's not really a guy you can double. And Minnesota's got shooters around him.
He showed in the first round that he is going to make the right decision when the doubles come. And I mean, if they want to try that and dare Minnesota to beat them, like, it's going to be a lot of Nickeil Alexander Walker and like McDaniels threes. And if you want to live with that, I guess you can. But like the thing that I think that they should be most concerned about is the fact that that game one went to clutch. It was a clutch game and they lost it, which they never do. And
Seriously, they do not lose.
Ant was kind of the act Ant was kind of the factor there. And I don't think that's going to stop. So
Yeah, I mean, I'm just
I
pulling up the like the head-to-head data for Ant. He was 8 of 11 against KCP. He was 1 of 2 against Christian Brown. He was 3 for 3 against Jamal Murray, which like that just feels like easy for him to get points at that point. 3 for 4 against Jokic. Those switches aren't what you want to see. But he was even 2 for 3 against Aaron Gordon. 1 for 2 against Michael Porter Jr. Like, I don't know what the answer here is. And he can kind of get the switch that he wants to whenever he wants to as well. Like, I don't think Denver can kind of really prevent that. I don't know. They might have to start throwing. I just, yeah, I don't know what the answer is. Like, I don't know if it's just blitzing him heavy and like just getting the ball out of his hands and making everybody else play. But and we saw that not really work out in the first series either, right? Like, I mean, I
Yeah.
felt like everybody else was making the right decisions too. So, yeah, I think for the first time, yeah, like you said, in 2 years, I'm a little bit concerned about Denver. Like, I'm not sure if they have the answers, and like the answer might just be like Jokic needs to play like just better. Like, he needs to be not great, he needs to be incredible.
Yeah. I think like if you do double him, if you do blitz him, get the ball in his hands, the thing is they have Conley to sort of guide the offense. And if they're playing together, like he can kind of take over that situation and make the right decisions and what becomes like that 4-on-3 scenario that we see a lot when these pick and roll coverages happen. But another thing to watch was the Nuggets they were putting Murray in a bunch of their actions. Not like isolating against him per se. Or the Wolves were putting Murray in a lot of their actions. Like not like isolating him per se, because I think sometimes when you do that, it can kind of take you out of the flow of their offense. And they really didn't need to with how well Edwards is scoring, but like they were kind of like running him through screens and off ball screens, like things like that. I think you're going to see that continue because he does have that leg issue that he's been dealing with. So,
Yeah, I think that's the best way for to break down Denver's defense as well. Right now, all of a sudden, you have to force KCP and Aaron Gordon to kind of play that help role and kind of decide, right? Like, are you going to let the guy beat Jamal, or are you going to step in, do something about it, but then your guy is open, right? And there's not really anybody you can leave open on Minnesota, right? They just don't really have a weak point in that way.
yeah. And I kind of think you're right about the Jokic part. Like he just has to be like
He has
he
to be
might
better.
have to like go dig deep and put up like 45 in some of these games, because if Murray doesn't have it against the length of this team and all the defense that they're able to throw out, it kind of has to be Jokic. And I mean MPJ, the thing about MPJ, why we love him so much is because he is so big, and like he has like the KD mold of like not being able to contest his shots. But like, if there's anyone who could do that, it's kind of the Wolves, because they have length, and if you're shutting down the cuts. I think Jokic, going to Jokic in the post and kind of getting what you can out of that. Jokic also shot 9 threes in game one, which I think is something to watch. We don't
I
really
don't
see
think you can
him
do that many, man.
take a ton. Yeah, it seems like too many, but he kind of does this against like teams with huge paint presences, like we see like the Wolves. So maybe that'll continue.
Really think like that floater game is going to open up for him, and I mean he's just got to take that. Like you said, he looked a little passive, and like I'm rewatching a little bit of it even now, and like a lot of it's just like all these possessions are getting him into spots where he can score. But he's trying to feed his other teammates. He's trying to find Gordon in the dunker spot, stuff like that. And it's like, you just got to take that floater. The Minnesota's defense is going to give you that. That's what they're funneling you into. But he can hit that, right? And if he hits like eight, nine of those in a
That's like
row, at some
a
point, you got to adjust.
60% shot for him.
Yeah.
He's
Oh,
better
yeah.
at that than anyone. So, yeah.
I mean, I watched him destroy my team with those last year. So it's, makes sense.
Their defense is so good that like it's gonna have to be these little pockets. I do think getting up more threes as a team is a good idea, just in general.
For sure.
Against these elite defenses, like we saw the Suns kind of die because they didn't really do that. Among other things, but like that could be something. But the thing is, in game one, they had more free throws than Minnesota. They hit more threes than they did. They still lost, like, in a game that was in the clutch, but they kind of lost by, it never felt like they were never leading in the last like 3 minutes of this game. Like it wasn't like going down to the final possessions. So
No,
I
I mean
guess,
Minnesota kind of grabbed hold of it in the middle of the fourth and then just kind of trading baskets from there, right?
And we didn't really see this, but like, if Naz Reid is going to be that impactful, like, do we see DeAndre Jordan get some minutes? Like, do we see like Zeke Nnaji get some minutes? Like,
You might see some funky stuff. I'll say that. Yeah, De like Denver may actually have to bring out some of that funky stuff to try and get through this one.
or like,
Limited minutes, very limited minutes, I think.
I think something that they might have to do also is kind of like not play KCP a ton, because if he's too small, and like you might see a lot more of Braun. I mean, Braun, we never know with Christian Braun, but
It's Christian Brown,
is it Braun?
I think it's Brown.
I said Braun the first
Oh,
time, then I just say Braun because I'm like thinking of how it's spelled. But
I know
we might see
it
him.
feels off-putting to say it.
We might see him more than KCP, even if it's not working as Ant. So I guess since we didn't like preview this series before it started, what was your pick before what happened to game one, and now that we've seen game one, has that changed?
So I had Denver in seven. And after seeing game one and just how good Minnesota is, I think I got to go with Denver in seven.
Okay.
I'm sticking with it, man. Fuck that.
I had
Stick
Denver in
with
six,
Denver.
and I guess I'll adjust to seven.
There you go.
Get the
There you
game.
go. That's
I would
the
be
needle.
I think game two is going to be
It's a must win.
like the I mean it's like the all-time like kitchen sink, like,
Yeah. You have
because
to. You have to win this
you
game.
lose both at home. I mean,
Solid.
I guess the Clippers have done this before, where they've come back and win, but like that was in 2021. It's a weird year in general.
You
And
lose two at home.
I think like, if I had to guess, Denver probably rolls them in game two.
Don't know,
But
man. I don't think you can roll this team. I just don't see it.
yeah, I think you might be right about that. Yeah.
Like
So I mean,
there would have to be like the perfect storm of like MPJ, Murray, and KCP are all hitting like a million threes. They're running in transition, and like Minnesota's just not getting back. Jokic is playing perfect, and like Ant's having a bad game, and Minnesota's having a bad shooting night. There's no way like all that. Even that is probably gonna be like a 20-point loss for Minnesota. It's not even gonna be like a complete blowout. It's gonna be like, okay, yeah, they won, comfortably.
I would expect to see a way more aggressive Jokic, though. And if that doesn't happen, then I think they're in big trouble.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to the other Western.
Can I just say like one
Yes.
thing? I think Denver, like to my last point, like they do have to push the ball a little bit more. Because their
Push
numbers,
the
like especially off
pace.
live turnovers, just push the pace a little bit. And I know it's a little bit maybe anti how Jokic likes to play it, but I think you gotta let Jamal just kind of take the reins on that and just go. Because best way to beat a defense, man, is when they're not set, right? You just gotta take advantage of that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think Denver's
Take
kind
Gobert
of
out of
like
there, right? When Gobert
we
on the
think of
half
them
court.
as like middle of the pack in pace, but like when they do have like the younger guys come in, they kind of tend to push it a little more. So I think that's a good way to and you can kind of direct Reggie Jackson and Murray to like do that, and you can do it. So yeah, I mean this series is like appointment viewing, honestly. Is one of like people have been saying, like we've had series like this in the second round before where people have said it's the finals, like you said it last week, like it's the finals, like whoever wins is going to win the finals. It happened in 2021 with Bucks Nets. Everyone was saying at the time this is the finals, and that series ended up being epic. So it feels like it's going to be one of those. Feels like it's going to be long no matter what. But yeah, Nuggets are in real trouble if they don't respond. So
Sure, man.
yeah, Thunder Mavericks is the other series in the West. This one has not started yet. It's going to start on Tuesday. We saw the Mavs close out the Clippers somewhat easy fashion on Friday night. Game kind of just got away from LA, and Kyrie was continued to be a problem. So this series is the for me, this is the hardest one of the four to pick. And there's a lot of stuff I like in OKC's favor. Like I like that they can have Dort, Jalen Williams, and even Cason Wallace at times guarding Luka. I like that Chet can both spread out Gafford and Lively and play big with them and protect the paint against some of the drives that Kyrie's going to have and Luka's going to have. I like that Dallas doesn't really have anyone for SGA. And I think that they're a deeper team, especially when with this Kleyva news, and it doesn't seem like he had a really bad fall in game six. If someone listening missed that, I wouldn't go and look it up, but he is probably not gonna play. I think the report was he's out for like 2 weeks, so I would just say he's not gonna play in the series. And
Highly unlikely.
that takes away a look that they can go to going small, which is something we saw the Pelicans try to do against this OKC team to deal with to try to deter from the problems that Chet was giving them. But now they can't really do that. So it's gonna be a lot of Lively and a lot of Gafford. And that's, I mean, the foul trouble there, if it happens, could be a huge deal. I kind of think a good strategy would be committing more defensive resources to stopping Kyrie than Luka. Although I'm not sure that they really have a good, I think that Kyrie is going to be able to score because of how quick he is. I don't know that they have someone who could stay in front of him. Like as much as I like, like are they really going to play like Cason Wallace that much and be like, your Kyrie is yours? Like, I don't think Dort's quick enough to stay in front of him, and I don't think
They're gonna
J
put Dort
Dub.
on Luka either way.
Yeah, I think so too, but
Yeah, and I don't. I mean, I guess you have SGA on him? Maybe.
I would be surprised. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be really interesting to just watch how this game start. Like honestly, watching like the start of this game and just seeing like what they do because they have a lot of options.
I mean, there's a world in which, like, SGA is on Kyrie, J Dub's on Luka, and they just kind of have Dort off the ball, but, like, I don't really know if that makes sense because, like, Dort is. Easily, like he's probably the best perimeter defender in the league, arguably. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It just presents a weird challenge where, like, now, like, if you have SGA on like a smaller guy that's a wing, I would think he'd be fine, but like, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think Dort is the best defender in the league, but
Perimeter defender? You might be up there.
I think
Top
McDaniels
five.
is
McDaniels. Yeah, I'll give him
a
McDaniels.
plus. People
All
say
right.
Suggs too, but he kind of got destroyed by Cleveland in the
Yeah.
last two games,
Yeah,
so
I
I
was
don't
gonna
think
say.
so.
The Suggs attitude might change a little bit.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we're gonna see Dort on Luka, because
Yeah. Yeah.
he
If
did
not,
that.
right, it's like pretty soon.
He guarded Ingram, who is no Luka, trust me. But and he cut his head off. So I
They're
mean,
different
if
stratospheres.
that worked, yeah. There's been a lot. I
They're
mean,
not even in the same solar system.
no, just I cool. Just there's been a lot of Ingram to Cleveland for Garland rumblings lately, and seeing how bad
That's
Garland has played, it's not. I don't know if I want
a
that to happen.
lose-lose if I've ever heard one.
It's so bad. Oh. And
Who's gonna be more
he
unhappy?
would fit right in with that Cavs team. My God, just jacking up a bunch of threes and walking up and down the
Yeah,
court.
bro. All right.
Anyway, so I mean, you think of like it's kind of like it's similar to what we were talking about with Minnesota. There's not a lot of weak points for Dallas to attack, and I guess there really weren't with the Clippers either. It would be a good argument, but like Harden in a way is kind of susceptible, but
Harden, I mean Zubac on switches, like there's
yeah.
stuff.
But Chet is like mobile, and if he's able. Like in round one, they didn't really have to like get weird with like the rotations with him and stuff and bringing in other bigs, the few that they do have. But I think this is a bigger challenge for them.
This is what I'm probably most curious about, though, for that series is like how much are they going to try and pick on Chet? Because you know Luka loves to go after bigs, but Chet might be the one big that maybe you don't want to go after. Maybe you don't want to pull him out on a switch. I don't know.
I mean, if they can draw like them drawing fouls on Chet is a good strategy for sure.
Yes, but are they going to be able to do it?
But he's pretty disciplined and he stays vertical. And I mean, we saw like I thought Valanciunas was going to be able to do that kind of didn't really happen.
Yeah.
So I it, it's I'm definitely. I think the matchups are going to be a huge deal on like who's guards Luka, who guards Kyrie, that kind of thing. I think that's going to be a huge thing to watch, and we'll see how much they toy with it, what works and what doesn't. Dagnall plays like 12 guys in the playoffs, at least he did in the series, the first round series. We'll
Right,
see
to
if
be
that
fair, he could afford to do it against y'all
he
too.
could, he could, he could.
Yeah.
So we'll see how much like Aaron Wiggins and Isaiah Joe and I mean even Hayward is even out there. Kind of a weird thing about OKC, despite how successful they've been, is how Hayward's just giving them nothing. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that, I guess. What are you thinking here? I'm kind of I think I'm leaning OKC, but
Yeah, I've been on the OKC train. I mean, I got them in the conference final. I've had them penciled into the conference finals for a while. But yeah, I think I have them in six, but like a fun six games, a lot of high scoring games, just fun shot making. Like picture, what was it, game four, game five, Clippers Dallas? I think it was game four, right? The one that Clippers won.
The
Yeah, just
crazy
like
lead that they lost and then didn't lose that
but
game.
then, like, the shot making just kind of took over at
Yeah,
the
yeah,
end.
yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
Kyrie versus Harden versus PG. Yeah, I would picture a lot of that. But yeah, I think OKC just has too many advantages. Like, this Dallas team is just, I don't know. The more I look at them, like, the less inspired I am. I think Kyrie could have a big series, like you said, but I just don't think that'll be enough. I think OKC's got what it takes, but I don't know. Like at the same time, I'm like, I don't know, maybe the bigs of Dallas like are able to just kind of run havoc on OKC, you know. I think somebody pointed out that like the regular season, the only matchup that like everybody played like on Dallas, like Luka, Kyrie, they like had everybody there and healthy, and it was a game that mattered. I think Dallas won by like 35 some odd. How much stock do you put into that? I probably wouldn't put that much stock into it, but we'll just have to see like how much Dallas can kind of exploit their size and really just how much can Luka like how much can Luka be free? I don't know.
I think you nailed it with the bigs. I think it's really going to be that. It's going to be that. It's going to be trying to limit what Kyrie and Luka can do. Because all year we've talked about and the points that people have brought up as like a case against OKC would be, they're not physical enough. Teams with a bunch of size would be able to beat them. And Dallas has size. I don't know if it's skilled size. I don't know if they're going to be throwing it to Gafford.
Definitely
They're
not
not going to be
skill
throwing it
size.
to Gafford and Lively and telling them to post up. Like, that's not what
No.
we're going to see here. So it's not really like offensive rebounding. Sure. But they don't really do that. And I don't know
Yeah.
that, like,
Like if the Pelicans weren't able to really do it and capitalize on it, like I just can't see Dallas doing it.
I mean, we did it a little bit in game one and it almost won us the game, but like
Yeah.
we it wasn't like that didn't sustain throughout the series. And like Valanciunas, that was just kind of like Valanciunas, which is not either of these
Yeah.
guys. Like
No.
so I think Chet attacking them would be interesting.
Yeah.
If they start posting up Chet, I think that's like a panic for Dallas because we saw what the Clippers were able to do with Zubac and that kind of work that worked for a little bit and maybe that's something that they go to. I kind of don't think that's going to be something that we see early, but maybe later in the series
With
if they
Chet,
think
I'm cool with Chet pulling him out, man. Pull him out,
yeah
make him
I
respect
think
his
that's a
three. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea too, because he can. I mean, he's skilled enough with the ball that he can put it on the floor and go
Yeah.
past them with pump fakes
I
and
just
things
think
like
that
that.
like Dallas, like the perimeter defense is gonna kill Dallas, man. Like their lack of it is gonna kill them. I really think. I think OKC is gonna have a lot of points to hit on. And they got guys
Yeah,
that
I
can
mean,
capitalize,
Luka's probably going to be hiding on Dort and Kyrie. I don't
Dort
know.
hits. Dort's been hitting like crazy.
I mean, Dort can hit three, sure. I'm saying where is Ky who is Kyrie guarding?
I don't know. I do not know. Like you put him
Because
on J-Dub, I guess, and
he
just
actually
let him
did
get.
pretty well on Harden, I will say. He
Yeah.
it, towards the end of the series, he did do pretty well on Harden, but like J-Dub's too
Harden's
big
like
for him.
hit or miss, man. I think J-Dub, I think SGA, like these guys are gonna be much more aggressive. They're gonna try and get to the rim. Like
I
they're.
mean, if SGA, he can't guard SGA. There's just not like
No.
that's
No.
disaster.
Yeah. Like I don't know. I don't know who their defender for SGA is, like, period. PJ Washington? DJJ? Like, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good about that.
Yeah, DJJ. I didn't think about DJJ. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, he feels too quick for DJJ. So, yeah, I
You
kind of
still have a problem
even.
with J-Dub. Like, I.
Yeah, that's the thing. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think the experience is gonna matter a little bit, but I'm still gonna pick OKC in seven.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, this should be a fun one. I think like when we first, like when I first knew that this was gonna be the matchup, I was leaning towards Dallas. But now
Yeah.
thinking about it more, I'm kind of like, I think OKC has more answers than Dallas has. But like in terms of like the problems that both teams can create for you. So, okay, that's the West. So if those results hold, we'll have a Denver OKC in the conference finals. And then to the East now, we're going to talk a bit about Knicks Pacers and maybe do 2 minutes on Celtics Cavs because it shouldn't be
2 minutes
very
would be
interesting.
kind.
Yeah. Knicks Pacers. I love this matchup for the Knicks. I think that like the pace of play, it's definitely a contrast of styles, which I think they'll be ready for.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see how Indiana is able to deal with the physicality or if they're able to deal with it at all. Because they want to play fast, And Knicks want to play slow, methodically, and physically. And the Pacers are not built to combat that. It's a question of which team can adjust to the other, or which team kind of imposes their style of play on the other. And like the Knicks just got out of this brutal series with the Sixers, and I think if had that series gone seven, I might be a little more high on the Pacers just because of what the Knicks had to go through playing all those minutes, but it didn't. And you know, the Knicks have been playing, they've been playing seven guys this pretty much this whole run. I mean, it's been,
It's classic.
yeah, it's been their starting five, and it's been Achiuwa and either Hartenstein or Robinson off the bench, and that's all it's been. So I think, well, like, will they play Alec Burks? Like, will they play? They don't have Bogdanovich anymore because he's out for the rest of the year. But like, I guess Alec Burks would be the guy. Like, is he gonna spend some time? But I don't really see it. Their seven guys, their best seven versus the Pacers' best seven, to me is just such a mismatch. Like, I mean, we talked like the Pacers got lucky playing the version of the Bucks that they did, and they won game seven pretty, I mean, they won game six pretty comfortably. But the game five that they lost, where they lost by like 25, and the Bucks without Dame and Giannis, that was kind of
Concerning
like, after watching that, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, they're not really making a real run this year. So I mean, the Knicks are the slowest team in the league, in terms of pace, and the Pacers are the second fastest, I would assume. Makes me wonder who's first, because I would think they would be first, but maybe it might be Boston or maybe OKC. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just for these playoffs or for the regular season?
That's for the season too.
I see them. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Let's see. I have something else pulled up here. Yeah, like so like there were times when the Bucks were able to like turn the game into like a half court game, which is what they wanted to do. And that was when they had success. That was like the game one, the game five style of like success for them, where it was just Dame kind of ISOing against them, or in game five, I guess it was Middleton. But like if they do that, that's not a recipe for success for the Pacers. They're gonna lose if the games turn into that. And they have guys to throw at Haliburton. They have OG to go to guard Pascal Siakam, which I think is going to be interesting to watch because Siakam was really good in the first round.
Yeah, I
Like
was gonna
in
throw in
terms,
the Siakam thing, yeah.
yeah, in terms of like who guards Brunson, it's probably going to be Nembhard to start, although they can put Neesmith on him. I think he's probably too quick for Neesmith. I think Nembhard should be able to do a decent job actually, because he. But no, you don't think so? I mean, he was bad against Dame at times, but at times he was pretty good. I mean, I love Brunson. I think he's gonna be able to have success, but I don't know if it's gonna be like a, I don't know if he's gonna need to score 40 points every game this time.
No.
And I think something that the Pacers could do is like full court pressure him and kind of wear him down. Like they're trying to wear this Knicks team down. I think it'll be interesting to see like if they're gonna play like a bigger rotation and kind of sub in guys in and out left and right to kind of like wear the Knicks down, wear them out if that's a strategy they try to use. But I don't know if that's a good thing, if it means you're having to play McDermott and like McConnell all these minutes that the Knicks are going to be able to
And
attack those
McConnell is
guys.
fine. Like I don't mind seeing McConnell minutes, but
I
McDermott
mean,
minutes.
McConnell's good, but like they can attack, like the Bucks didn't really do it because they didn't have the guys to do it. But like if Brunson is ISOing against McConnell, it's going to be bad. Like, and you know, Haliburton's hurt. His back is still messed up. He's settling for a lot of threes. And you know, he had games where he made them, but he had, I think, in game four, he was like 1 for 12 on threes. Pacers are also like, it's really night and day, home and away for them. Like, and them not having home court, I think, is gonna, like, I'd be shocked if they're able to take one of the first two games in New York, just because, like, they're so much better at home. And you know, the Knicks, in theory, would have a disadvantage from the bench stuff, but like, the benches
These guys
aren't—they
don't
don't really
have.
play their bench. And like, if Indiana continues to, I think the Knicks are able to take advantage of that. And I mean, Brunson's the best player in the series by kind of a
Wide
lot.
man.
And I don't know. I don't know that, like, this version of the Knicks with like their elite defense and like Ananobi being able to muck stuff up, him guarding Siakam, I think is a great solution. I think, like, maybe the Pacers spreading them out is like helpful with Miles Turner. You know, I think him like spreading out Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein, I think that's something the Pacers should look to do, and I'm sure they will.
I think it's only going to hurt him if Miles Turner is actually hitting a whole bunch of shots. You know,
Yeah, and the thing is,
that's
in a
what most of it is.
series like the shock of like playing the Pacers, like the way that they play, like the fast pace, like the Knicks are going to be able to get used to that. And they can, and if they're able to make it into a half court game, like, I think they will. I think,
In trouble.
yeah, I think it should be
In trouble.
quick work.
But
I
you
can't
have
decide
them.
if, I can't decide if it's 4 or 5.
Oh, okay. We still got to give a prediction. My bad. I was
Yeah.
jumping ahead to Cleveland. I was like, oh, he's struggling with thinking stuff to say.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I will
I'm
be.
going Knicks in five.
Okay. I'm gonna be bold. I'll go 4. I think they're really,
So we
really
like.
much better.
Watch him
Yeah,
get
this
like
one was easy
six.
to me. I think, like, I think they're gonna get punched in the mouth, the Pacers are.
I do too.
Okay, Celtics, Cavs. No Jared Allen for Cleveland for probably the next two, three games. And Porzingis is, it's like likely that he's gonna miss this entire round. So if
That's what
Allen
I'm
was
saying,
playing,
man. Can I just say, like, people were like, oh, he'll be back in a few days or something after like the calf
no.
strain. It's like, nah, man. Calf strains are bad. Like,
Especially
this
for a
keeps you out for like the entire
seven,
playoffs sometimes.
a guy who's 7'4" or whatever he is, like,
You need those.
I
Are
mean,
you playing
Giannis has
minutes?
it. Giannis got a calf strain and he was out for 3 weeks. Like,
That's how it goes. It's a calf strain. You can't move without your calves.
KD got a calf strain, played on it, and tore his Achilles. It's not like, you can't, yeah, you
No,
can't mess
it's
around.
serious stuff. It is serious
So
stuff.
I don't think that's going to become a real factor until the
Like,
conference finals. But
not even.
I mean, if they play the Knicks, like, not having Porzingis, I think that could hurt them. The rebounding? Yeah.
Rebounding.
Yeah.
It confirm. It's not going to.
Wow, you're more confident then. Well, I guess we'll get there when we get there.
The
But
Celtics team is like so far ahead of everybody else. Like,
it
I
really
cannot.
is.
Like,
It's
there's no team
shaping
that's
up
even.
to be the all-time cakewalk to the finals, like, for what they're
This
doing.
is. They're further ahead of their conference than Golden State was at their peak. Like, the KD Warriors were not as
Yeah.
far ahead of everybody else. At
Yeah.
least you had the Rockets that, like, kind of could compete. You know, more than
I
kind of.
mean,
Honestly,
they
they
could
did
compete.
compete.
They almost
They
won.
could compete. Yeah, that's true. That's true. They could compete. There is nobody in the East that I can even like. I mean, okay, I don't want to talk about that series yet. Like, we'll have our thoughts on the conference finals when we get there. But man, it's not looking good.
Like, imagine if the Pacers somehow get through. Like,
Dude, oh my God, that could be the most unwatchable. Whoever,
we've
whichever
seen
one
them
of
put.
TNT and ESPN has that, like, I feel so bad. All
I
time
think
low
T.
number.
Well, ESPN's going to have the East this year because they
Oh,
had the
jeez,
West last year. Isn't that
they
how
could
it
get.
works? It switches off.
Yeah, I think
So,
it switches every year.
yeah.
So they could get mega screwed with that. But we'll see. I mean, even if it's the Knicks, I can't see that series going that deep.
Would you have rather seen Orlando here?
No. I mean, no, definitely not. I think Cleveland at
Really?
least. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Orlando would have gotten punched in. They might have lost every game by 30. Orlando might not have broken 75 until game four and Boston's feeling bad for him.
Yeah,
Am I wrong?
I think you're right. Celtics sweep.
I'm trying to find the Celtics Orlando games from this year.
They beat them like
Celtics
twice. That's what I was saying.
114 to 97. The Celtics then won 128 to 111. And the Magic did beat them 113 to 96 back in November. So there you go. I don't know, man. This is not, it didn't matter who Boston was going to play. They're just so good.
I mean, this is a we. I mean, we've seen Cleveland hang with them before, and but it's gonna have to be Mitchell superhero mode against
Yeah.
these guys. And they have, I mean, Derek White and Jrue Holiday to throw at him. So, and Tatum and Brown if it comes down to it. So it's not gonna happen. Yeah, I guess that's all. We'll see those games to start in the next couple of days. And we'll be back later in the week.